Dalit Ahmed Bey's, 9 lines from the bottom, 10 lines from the bottom. Nine lines, cowboy. Okay, we've been learning this sugya about Kiddush Hashem, about the, you have the big three, that you have to be over, that you have to be Yehorek Val Yavo regardless of the situation, and then you have the situation when the thing takes place with Hahesia, if it's in the presence or in the knowledge of at least 10 Jews, or if it's B'shat HaShmad, if it's the time when the Goyim are trying to outlaw Yiddishkeit, like the Romans or Soviet Russia or whatever. Okay.
So can you give a
So that's basically it. So then that's it. So
if there's 10 people,
you have to be Moshe Nefesh, or any means, right? Even Mitzvah Kala, even changing your shoelaces, even not to wear Goyish-style shoelaces. If it's Shas HaShmad, same thing, regardless whether it's for Hesia or not. Because as Rashi says, you don't want that the Goyim should think they can make us afraid and give up Yiddishkeit. If it's neither Pahetia nor Shas HaShmad, then only the big three do you have to be over.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to be Yehorek Val Yavo. All the other ones is Yavo Val Yehorek, and then you have a Machlokas who's showing him within that whether you're allowed to still be Moser Nefesh anyway, which is what Tosfos holds, or whether you have to be over that Veda and do not be Moser Nefesh, and if you are, it's considered like you committed suicide, which is the Rambam.
If it's for Hesia, we don't go 10 people.
Meaning with the knowledge of 10 people. Yeah.
Right, and they could even be women.
Yeah, the Vashas, because they're also Mitzvah and Kiddush Hashem. But they all have to be Jews, the Gemara had established it.
How do you know?
Because we said, we're going to be Sefer Yisro, we're going to be Sefer Shabbat.
Right, but how do you know that the 10 people are Jewish?
How do you know if the 10 people, you know when the situation is going on, you know our 10 Jews are going to know about this.
Their cap says high on it.
Okay. No, he wasn't asking. Bomi name it about. Ben Noach mitzuvah al kiddush Hashem or ein mitzuvah al kiddush Hashem. A Ben Noach who has sheva mitzvah, does he have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem or not? If somebody tries to force him to worship Avodah Zarah or do any of the other big or do any of his other seven, does he have to be moser nefesh on it? Amar Abaye Toshma, come, it's true. We learned in the sugya before about it. Sheva mitzvahs and stavu b'nei Noach. We said the b'nei Noach are commanded in 7 mitzvahs. V'im iser, if you're going to say that they're chayav in kiddush Hashem, t'mani havi, and then they have 8 mitzvahs. So obviously, it can't be. Amalei Rava, no, Rava says not necessarily, because you could say inu v'chol abizrayu, because you could say that the 7 means the basic 7 plus other things that are outgrowths of them. Meaning, in other words, Kiddush Hashem wouldn't be considered a separate mitzvah for them. It would be considered you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. Therefore, an outgrowth of that is that if somebody is trying to force you to worship Avodah Zarah, then you have to go on Kiddush Hashem. It's considered within the group.
Like Agat Tumah and Tolda.
Sort of like an Av and a Tolda. Yeah. That's what it basically means. It means like a part of it, basically. Like
they are obligated.
So Rava is arguing. You can't prove from the fact that they only have Sheva mitzvahs that Kiddush Hashem is not included. Just as with the other mitzvahs, you have Abizrahu, you have the, and there's a concept of Abizrahu is a broad one. We're going to see examples of it soon. But Abizrahu includes, for example, Arayas. Abizrahu, as we're going to say soon, includes various other things of Christus that lead to Arayas. It's a common word when you talk about, especially when you talk about the big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilah, Arayas, Shefichas Damim. It's a very common term that's used in the halakhic literature. Abizrahu, meaning something may not be the actual Avodah Zarah itself, but it's something like sort of an outgrowth of it, something that leads to it or whatever, and therefore would be included. And the same thing with Gilah, Arayas, and Shefichas Damim.
So with the Avodah Zarah, it might not be bowing down, but it might be preparing food for the...
Let's say, for example, yeah. Okay, my havi aloha, fine, what's the bottom line? What is the aloha? Is it going with Sovan Kiddush Hashem or not? Amr of Adaba Ava, Amri Bey Rav, they said in the yeshiva of Rav as follows. Ksiv, you have a pasuk as follows. You have the story of Naaman, the general of Aram. He had Saraf, he comes to Elisha to be cured of his Saraf. The story is Sahara of Parshas Tazria. So what happens at the end? After he's cured by Ness, he tells him to dip 7 times in the Yarden. Afterwards, after he's cured, Naaman is overjoyed. He comes back to Elisha and he says, from now on, I'm becoming a Ger Toshev. I'm giving up Avodah Zarah. I'm giving up the other Avodas. I'm becoming a Ger Toshev. I'm accepting on myself Shev Mitzvah. Well, he didn't say Shev Mitzvah. No, Yachan the Pasuk, he just says, I'm only going to worship Hashem. However, he says, L'davar hazeh yisvach Hashem l'avdacha. As far as the following thing, though, I have to ask that Hashem should forgive your servant, meaning me. When my master, meaning the king of Aram, comes to Beis Rimon, to the house of his Getchke, to bow over there, and he is leaning on my arm, so therefore I would have to bow as well. I can't tell him that I've become a Ger Toshev, who knows what he'll do to me, so I have to, I'm forced to bow along with him. Is that allowed? Question. He's saying, Yisrach Hashem l'Avdecha, may Hashem forgive your servant for this. And the pasuk continues, And Elisha answers him, go in peace. So you have to figure, it means, in other words, it's okay, basically. It means, in other words, it's okay. So now, if you're going to tell me, it's okay, you'll be able to do it. You won't have, when he's bowing down and you have to bow down with him, it's okay. So now, if you're going to tell me, Ben Noach has to do Kiddush Hashem, then he shouldn't tell him that. He should tell him flat out. This is also, you're going to have to figure out some other way because that's not going to work. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Now, Rashi says, by the way, it's not like you would necessarily have to give him Musar, because Hecheyach Techiyach HaTamisecha only applies to a Yid, but at least you shouldn't tell him Leich L'Sholem, implying it's okay. He should at least tell him, there's a problem here. I can't tell you that Eivishter is going to forgive you for that. He doesn't. He just says Leich L'Sholem, implying it's okay. On the other hand, the Gemara says, no, Habitzina HaBaPahetzia, because you could argue there's a difference between Bitzina and Baparhetzia. We established before that for Yidin, there's a difference between Bitzina, when it's in private, versus Baparhetzia in public. It's the knowledge of 10 Jews. 10 Jews aren't going to know about this. There aren't, you don't have Jews in Beis Rimon. You don't have Jews in this church in Damascus over there, where this guy is going to be with the king over there. So therefore, you need 10 Jews. It doesn't work 10 B'nai Noach. So therefore, you could argue only because of that, if you're not Mitzvah al Kiddush Hashem. Had it been in a place, if they were to go to a place where there are going to be 10 Jews around, maybe he would be obligated to do. Now, that's the Girsa that we have in front of us, is that the Gemara, therefore, has concluded that there's no real proof one way or the other. Maybe you could argue that a Goy is Mitzvah al Kiddush Hashem, but the same rules would apply to Yid, not the Tzina, only the Pahetia.
He's
not a Yid, he's a Ger Toisha. He accepted the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. He didn't accept the rest of the Mitzvahs. But, so that's the Girsa we have in front of us over here, and that's the Yad Ramah, for example, accepts that Girsa and says it comes out then the Gemara has not really concluded what the din is about the Goy and Kiddush Hashem. On the other hand, a number of Rishonim have a Girsa that the answer is, if that was a significant difference, then Elisha himself should have told him Habitzina HaBaPahetzia, that there will be a difference. You will be Chayev on Kiddush Hashem if it's B'Pahetzia. You won't be Chayev if it's B'Tzina, like in Beis Rimon. He should have made him aware of that difference. If he didn't, it's Mashma, there is no difference. So a Ben Noach, doesn't matter if it's sin or if it's, he's not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah willingly, but if he's doing it by force, because in this case his king requires him to do it, then it would be allowed, Taka. And that is Taka, that's Taka the Halacha as the Rambam passes, if we're going to have it shortly in Rambam when we get to Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, we're going to have that the Goy is not Mitzvah Al Kiddush Hashem.
I have a conceptual question on the senior of Parashat Bitzina. Who cares, really? It's about the Eivishter.
No,
because
the difference is like this. When it comes to the big three, but it's
only for Jews.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's the Machshana according to the Rambam. Right. The difference is like this. The big three, in and of themselves, violating them is Osir, for reasons that we discussed in the previous Gemara. Ritzicha, because it's logical, your blood is not more important than the others. Arayas, we learn by Hekesh from Ritzicha. And Avodah Zarah, we said, because we'll have to ask Hashem like that. All the other ones, it's a matter of Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem. If you don't have Pahesia, there's no issue, there's no Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem that's going to happen over here. You don't have enough people knowing about it for there to be a Chilul Hashem. Therefore, you have the usual rule, you're expected to live with the dinim or with the mitzvahs of the Torah, not to die. Okay. However, when there's a Chilul Hashem, that's different. V'nikdashti, it says, loy tachalu Hashem kachim v'nikdashti, but when v'nikdashti, v'soich b'nei Yisrael, only if you have a minion, only if you have 10 Jews. You don't have 10 Jews, there's no issue of Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem, therefore it's allowed. That's the concept behind it.
It seems remotely, totally illogical. Avodah Zarah
is one of the big three, that's regardless.
One of the big three, yes.
Yes, so that doesn't matter if it's sinner or perhaps. We're talking for a Jew versus a Goy.
Right.
For a Goy, the Maskana is, according to the Rambam Girsa, that a Goy is not Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. His king is forcing him to bow to Avodah Zarah. Let him go bow to Avodah Zarah. He doesn't believe in it. I'll be that. But by a Yid, there would be no such exception. By a Yid, it doesn't matter what sinner of a Pahet. Yeah? He'd still have to go on Mesiris Nefesh rather than worship the Avodah Zarah, rather than even pretend to bow down to the Avodah Zarah.
So why not by a Goy?
Because by a Goy is different. A Jew has a mitzvah. A Jew has a mitzvah. You have to ask Hashem like that. A Goy doesn't have that. As a matter of fact, I mean, Tosfos points out, so it just points out, why does the Gemara even have a Hava Amina Tosfos asks the question. The pasuk v'chai b'hem, from which we learn that you should violate most mitzvahs and not be killed, only applies to Jews. It only it doesn't apply to Goyim. What was that? What was the Habam? You know? And the answer is, okay, maybe we need B'chai B'chem for Jews to say, once you have a Ritzeach, a Naira Amayrosa, and a Berdazara, that you have to be Yehorek Val Yavor, even the Tzina, maybe the same will apply to other mitzvahs. So we have B'chai B'chem to tell us that not. By Goyim, where we don't have those Limudim for Ritzeach, a Naira Amayrosa, maybe we should say we have the question. And we have the question whether we would, no, we're not B'chai B'chem, because again, none of those certainly apply to Goyim, but does it apply or not? And again, according to the Girsa we have, the Gemara hasn't come to a Maskana. According to the Rambam's Girsa, the Gemara has come to a Maskana that he's not. The mitzvah is a mitzvah on the seven mitzvahs. You know? The seven mitzvahs, you know what the seven mitzvahs is. It's not to worship Avodah Zarah. In other words, don't believe in it. Don't worship it because you believe in it. If you're worshiping it because you're forced to, that's okay. That's how it is. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Here is something as far as Gilui Arayot. So actually, it's not really going to be Gilui Arayot itself necessarily, but it's going to be Abizrayu. Here is going to be an example of Abizrayu of something which is related to Gilui Arayot. Literally, Rashi says, Rashi on the previous Amud translates it with a French word, appartement, so something like an apartment, like something that's related to, like it's a part of it, it's an outgrowth of it.
Separation?
No, like an outgrowth of it, kind of.
Apartment means a separation.
Yeah, apartment, we call that because you have a bunch of apartments in a building, whatever. It's, I don't know if it's the exact word, but whatever, it's the same.
Yeah, it's a
same.
French word that we don't know what it means.
No. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Maisa ba'adam echad shenosen eino b'isha achas. It happened once that a certain man looked on a certain woman and had a taiva for her, the hell of libertina, and his heart had tina. Tina literally means like mud or something, but over here what it means is nitamtim liber, Rashi says, like his heart was stopped up. He loved her so much that he became sick. He became heart sick for her. So they came and asked the doctors, what can we do for him? And the doctor said, well, the only thing that's going to help him is if he's actually able to have relations with her, and that'll cure him of this sickness. The Chachamim said, no, better let him die rather than that she should have relations. We're going to see in a minute. We're going to discuss the possibilities. Wait. So they said, okay, Tamud Lepanav Aruma. Wait. Okay, Tamud Lepanav Aruma. Fine, he can't have relations with her. Let her at least stand in front of her. Let her at least stand in front of him undressed. That maybe helps. No, Yomus Val Tamud Lepanav Aruma. Tisapu Imam Acharei Ageder. Fine, let her at least speak to him from behind a fence. No, Yomus Val Tisapu Imam Acharei Ageder. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi and Rabbi Shmuel Ba'Nachmeni argued, what was the exact circumstance? One of them said, as you said, the obvious thing you would think, she was an Eishes Ish, so therefore, to be boiled her, there's no question, would be Yehoreh Val Yaver, and even the other ones, even for her to stand undressed in front of him, or for her to talk with him, would be Abizrayu. He was an example of Abizrayu. It was something that would be related to Gilui Arayot. In fact, it's interesting, you know, you have the question. The Torah tells us, "Loisikruvu legalis erva." You shouldn't come close to uncover erva. We had it just yesterday in the Kriya Mincha Yatip. What does it mean? So, the Rambam holds that it includes various things that could lead to Gilui Arayot. For example, hugging and kissing and whatever. So, according to the Rambam, such things are actually also daraisa. Some other Rishonim, the Ramban, for example, I think hold they're only also darabon. Or Gemara seems to fit better with the idea of the Rambam that they're Jaraisa, because that explains why they're Abizrayu, that explains why they're Yehoreh Val Yaver as well. The opinions that say that Drabanan would have to say that Yehoreh Val Yaver extends to Abizrayu, that only Drabanan as well.
Sounds like the whole story that
it was
the news, the people knew about it,
it was
Hashem,
you
know, wow.
Well, that's what we're going to say a second. Hold on.
That's so
Hold on. The other opinion says that no, she was an unmarried woman. So, I can understand if she's a married woman, why they're telling him to let him die rather than any of it. If she's a penuya, my fly, what's the big deal? So let him have relations with her. The worst is an isur lav. Let her, whatever, yeah. The answer is, Rapapa says, the reason is because there's going to be a pagam of the mishpacha. The family will be embarrassed of this. She herself conceivably could be moichel on the pagam. But the family, you can't ask or expect the whole family, including the whole extended family, they might not even be in the area, to forego that, no?
Why?
Because there would be a pagam that she had relations with him outside of marriage, but so therefore they didn't want to allow it. Therefore the chachamim didn't want to allow it.
Why couldn't you get married?
Hold on, the Gemara has thought of all this, but wait. Yeah. says the reason is you don't want that Jewish women should be loose as far as arayas. You don't want, you're going to have a situation like this that people are going to have a taiva like this, and then well, the only thing to do is for her to have relations with him, and all.
Anyone who has you don't want taiva. That.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, basically. Okay. The question is, as you just asked, or civil mitzvah, mitzvah, why not marry her? And then I don't know, there's no avera involved. She says it'll be a mitzvah. The answer is, that wouldn't help. It wouldn't calm him down. And the reason why not is like, hello, is like Rabbi Yitzchak says, the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, ever since the Mishmash was destroyed, people are now weaker because they have much more worries, and nobody has the spirits to have such a taiva as they did before. Therefore, nitla tam bi of nitla over avera. Therefore, the taste, the great taiva that a person has for bia was taken away and given only to those who do avera. Not only it remains by those who do avera because they have a powerful yetzahara that stokes their taiva and makes it stronger. In other words, by rights, even the over avera should have a weaker taiva, because after the korban, after everybody has more daigas and whatever. But the Yetzirah fires them up with it, and therefore they have the same kind of taiva as everybody had before. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Mayim gnuvim yim, the good stolen water is sweet, the lechem stodim yinam, and bread that's eaten in secret is pleasant. And Rashi explains, bread is a euphemism for relations. Kima lechem asher roichel, it says by Potiphar and then Yosef, that he left everything in Yosef's hands except the bread that he ate, meaning his wife. So, but it's not, because that's the thing. If they were married, it wouldn't be Mayim Gnuvim, because they're not able to. If he would get married, it wouldn't be Mayim Gnuvim anymore. It would be Mayim Gnuvim. So therefore, he wouldn't have a title. What?
Why was Nitla Tam
Bia? Nitla, because like Rashi says, that the Koshal HaKayaf Medaigas Rabbis, people are weaker now because they have so many worries and concerns, and therefore a person doesn't have, in Ruach Lo Kamo Be'ishli Es Toiv Le'ishli, the spirit doesn't stand up by a person that he should have such a taiva for his wife. As opposed to, by the Over Avera, it stayed strong. So therefore, if he did it beheter by marrying her, it wouldn't satisfy his taiva anyway. The only way for him to accomplish his taiva would have been the iser, and the Chachamim aren't going to allow that.
Yeah, he should die for that.
And that's what it takes. In a way, Mephoshim talk about the idea. Some of the Achronim talk about the idea. In principle, even especially with this idea for Gam Mishpacha before, we might have said, so fine, maybe we should expect the Mishpacha to be Moichel on the Gam. The answer is, this guy brought it on himself. What are you doing having a kinyan in the first place? Control your thoughts in the first place so you don't get so sick out of love for her, and then you won't have a problem. The family shouldn't have to go through Gam Mishpacha because you couldn't control yourself. History doesn't record that detail.
He went to the next
thing. By
now, they're all dead.
Yeah. This is also true. All right.
See, about 10 pages ago, we learned about the Yetzirah being locked up in the... Dalvin and I read that today on Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, so now in the previous two prakim we've dealt with all of the niskolim, all the 18 cases where a person gets skila. Now we're on to the next niskolim.
Wait, when they locked the Yitzhak, that was in the beginning of this Bais Sheni.
Yes.
This is after.
And it wasn't actually they locked up the Yitzhak of Avodah Zarah, and I guess it suffocated in there or whatever. The Yitzhak of Arayis, they poked its eyes out and let it.
The eyes of the
Arayis. And let it.
So people don't like this.
So the people don't have such a taiva for their relatives. Yeah. Okay. So now we're up to Nisrofin. The Elohein and Nisrofin, the following people get saved. The basic two cases are Habal Isha Uvita or Bas Koyin Shazinta. The basic two cases are one where a man has relations with a woman and her daughter. And case number two is a Bas Koyin or Mizana, which we learned all the details of 25 blocks ago. What are we have three-way Machlokas Tanoim. What exactly are the circumstances if she's an Arusa, if she's in a Sua, or both, that she gets saved. Rashi points out, by the way, the reason why Bas Koyin is mentioned separately, why doesn't it say Habal Isha Ovita or Habal Bas Koyin instead of Bas Koyin Tzimtza, is because of the difference. With Isha Ovita, all three people involved get Strafa. When it comes to the Bas Koyin, as we learned before, she gets Strafa, he gets Chenek. Or Skila, as the case may be, so therefore it's different. Okay. Yesh Bechal Isha Ovita. Now, included in the concept of a woman and her daughter. Now, the thing is like this. The Pasuk does not actually say in so many words that you're not allowed to have relations with a woman and her daughter. The expression of the Pasuk is that Isha Sheikach has Isha ve'es Ima. If a man has relations, if a man marries or has relations with a woman and her mother. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara what is the case of Isha Uvita that we mean here in the Mishnah. We're going to discuss the details. But included in that is as follows: Bita Yovas Benoi. It includes his daughter, his granddaughter, and his daughter's daughter or his son's daughter. Ubas Ishta Yovas Bita Yovas Benoi. It also includes his wife's daughter as well as her daughter's daughter or her son's daughter. And it also includes his mother-in-law's mother, as well as his father-in-law's mother. So you have nine cases. You have nine cases plus the Bas Kohen. Those are the ten cases that get Tzreika. And we're going to deal with in the Gemara, given that the Pasuk only mentions one of them at Isha Ves Ima. How do we learn the other eight? So the Gemara starts off by saying, "Habal Isha should not be bita lekatani." Now let's consider, when the Mishnah uses the word Isha or Bita, evidently, the Gemara means to refer to the case mentioned in the Pasuk. In which case, we can't say that we're talking about the case that the Mishnah did not use the expected expression that you have relations with a woman whom you married her daughter. In other words, you have, for example, so let's use a mother and daughter from Tanakh. You have Leah and you have Dina. If the Mishnah means the case where Dina married, I don't know who Dina married. So maybe that's not a good example. Let's take a better example, actually, where we know from Tanakh who her husband was. We have, for example, Yocheved and Miriam. We know that Miriam married Kalev. So let's say Kalev were to have relations with Yocheved, but then the Mishnah should have phrased it that the Mishnah would have had to phrase it is he has relations with Yocheved, who he had married Yocheved's daughter Miriam. Loi katani, but the Mishnah didn't use that expression. Instead, the Mishnah used the expression that he had relations with the mother and her daughter. Instead of saying a woman whose daughter he married. In other words, that there's Miriam who he married, and he had relations with her mother Yocheved. Instead, the Mishnah phrases it as Habal Isha Uvita. They had relations with the mother and the daughter, Miklal the Tavayu the Isura, implying that both of them are actually offsurf. Some of the Mefarshim actually explain the point of the Gemara a little bit different. That the implication of the Mishnah is that both Isurim, that both Isha Uvita have to be equally offsurf. Now, in the case of Kalev with Miriam and Yocheved, he's perfectly allowed to have relations with Miriam. She's his wife. And in fact, Miriam wouldn't be in line for Sreifa, even if he had relations with Yocheved. Miriam's the innocent party over here. It would be Kalev and Yocheved would be the ones to get Sreifa. The way the Mishnah is phrasing that, though, implies that all three of them are going to be Chayev Sreifa. It must mean that we're talking about his mother-in-law and her mother. So we're talking about Yocheved and Yocheved's mother are the ones that he had relations with. Both of them are also to him. One is his mother-in-law. The other is, you want to call it grandmother-in-law, his wife's grandmother. Both of those are equally osur, and both of those are chayev tzreifa. Now, the katani yesh b'chal isha uvita, then though the Mishnah continues by saying that included in isha uvita are the various other cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah, implying the klal v'tavayu k'sivu behedya, implying that you have a certain case that is mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. If you're going to say chamoise v'eim chamoise, the Mishnah therefore is implying that both of those, it explicitly says in the pasuk that you're not allowed to have relations with your mother-in-law and with your mother-in-law's mother. It sounds like both of those explicitly it says in the pasuk, because it says yesh b'chal isha uvita, included in that, which is in the pasuk, you have the other eight which are not explicitly stated in the pasuk. V'hanach midrasha asya, and it would mean the other eight you're all learning from a drasha. The problem with that is, if we understand the Mishnah that way, we have a problem when we get to a machlokas of Abaya and Rava, which in turn refers to a machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So we need to explain first what that machlokas is. The main machlokas is later on Ayin Vav. It's like this. The Pasuk says, somebody want to go over and get a Chumash by Yikra, please? We're going to be referring to Pesukim a lot, so we're going to need a Chumash. Thanks. Thanks, Zander. I should have thought to print these Pesukim out before I came here, but I was in a hurry. Thank you. Thank you. Parshas actually not Parshas Akimos. We have a Parshas Kedoshim. You have three psukim that bear on this. For our purposes right now, Parak Chaf, Pasuk Yud Dalet. If a man married a woman and her mother, Zimahi, it is Zima, it's Nut, but Eish Yisufu Oisei Ve'eschen, burn with fire him and them, well, I see a Zima, so there shouldn't be Zima, so there shouldn't be Nut among them. Now, what do we mean Ve'eschen? The problem with it is, Ve'eschen, on the face of it, means both them. The problem is, again, if you're talking about, say, for example, if you're talking Miriam and Yisrael, why should Miriam, Kalev's wife, be punished? Kalev himself, fine, his Mazana was his mother-in-law. Yecheved herself, for the same reason. Why should Miriam be Chayiv Nisa?
Other something they married at the same time, the mother and the daughter.
It doesn't matter, though. Whichever one you marry first is the one who's the legitimate wife. You would have to, so then you have a question. First of all, once the Kedushin already, they make them all. So in Kedushin Shle Nimsu Rubia, you have a different. And if you're Makadish in a way where it's not clear which one you're Makadish, the halacha is the Kedushin aren't valid anyway. Kedushin Shle Nimsu Rubia, yeah. Okay. So Rabbi Shmuel learned, Rabbi Shmuel holds the word the S10. He holds the hen is actually the Greek word meaning one. So therefore, the S10 means and one of them. Yeah, same way as Tetelfos, it's half the Kaspi Shtayim, half the Kaspi Shtayim. Same way you have a few Aloin Chilosh and Mitzvi, Aloin Bochur, so that's because of it, that Aloin is Greek for another. Yeah, you have a few places with a Chon and Darshan like that. Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel understands it that way. Eshen means one event. Which one? The one he had relations with second. The first one is total. But he holds the hen as a Greek word meaning one, which it is. So therefore, Eshen means and one of them. That's how we call Pasuk Yud Dalet. In fact, look in Rashi over there, you can see. The Yeshme Abitain Shoimrim ain't Kana la Chamoisa. Some of our Rebbeim, namely Rabbi Shmuel, says it only means Chamoisa, only the mother in law, Mao Eshen, it's Achas Mehen, Velosh Nibani, who ain't Ach. See? For a Perkha Pasuk Yud Dalet.
Interpret the
term, Velosh Nibani. Yes! That's Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, hold on. That's how it is. Guys, come on. Okay, onward. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says no. Eshen means exactly what it sounds like, both of them. Now, what do you mean, both of them? The fact of the matter is it can't mean both of them, as we just said. So then, within that, then you have a machloikus between Abaya and Rava. You have Abaya says that there's no real machloikus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The machloikus is basically just that how do we understand the pasuk? If only one of them was also to him, then it means only that one. If both of them are also, then both of them. That's what it would mean. In other words, according to Abaya, there's no real machloikus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. It's called Mashmos Dorshin Ikabenaya. We're arguing how exactly do we understand the psukim. And Rashi mentions over there also Shanotas Chamoise Ve'ima. Again, that it could mean that he married his mother or he had relations with his mother-in-law and her mother. So Yecheved and Yecheved's mother. And in that case, both of them are also, and then that's that. On the other hand, Rava says that we learn from the word Eshen that Rabbi Akiva would say that it means only if both of them are still alive does this apply. Let's say, for example, he married a woman, he married Miriam, then later on she died, and now he has relations with Yecheved. It's Taka Osir, but Rava's understanding of Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva would say you're not Chayiv Sreicha then, you're not Chayiv Misa then. It's also, but it's not Chayim Sreicha. So Rabbi Akiva says Eshen in plural. In other words, it only applies if both of them are alive. Right. If one of them is dead, it doesn't apply.
Rabbi Shmuel says
it means only one of them. It means that one of them is Mutter, one of them is Osir, and only the one that's Osir is dead. Rabbi Abaya understands Rabbi Akiva to be saying that the Pasuk has to be talking about a case where both of them are Osir. And Rava understands Rabbi Akiva to be saying that the din, that the Chayim Sreicha only applies if both of them are alive. Obviously, it would also only apply if both of them are Osir.
Right. But so now, the question, how do you apply it with Rabbi Shmuel if it's just one person?
So Rabbi Shmuel would say that's the case the Pasuk is referring to. The Pasuk is referring to you married Miriam, then you had relations with Yecheved. Miriam is not Osir, was never Osir to you, she's your wife. Yecheved is your mother-in-law, she's the one who's Osir. Yisrufu Oisev Ashen, you burn him and one of them, the one that's Osir to him.
Okay. Yeah. So you burn Yecheved.
Yeah.
Miriam is
the and when Miriam usually according to Rabbi Akiva, he says Ashen means period, it means both of them. But what does it mean? That's the thing. What does it mean, both of them? Abaya says, Rabbi Akiva understands the prophet, not like Rabbi Shmuel that you're talking about two women, one was Osir and one was Mutter. You're talking about two women who are Osir, namely, in other words, Yecheved and Yecheved's mother.
Right.
Both of them are Osir to you because you married Miriam, who is Yecheved's daughter. On the other hand, Rava understands Rabbi Akiva to be saying that no, we are talking about that both we are indeed talking about both of them that are Osir. However, we still mean both of them. Meaning, in other words, you're talking about, for example, no, not that both of them are Osir. According to Rava, Rabbi Akiva is saying one of them is Mutter, one of them is Osir. Namely, you have Miriam and Yecheved. So what does it mean? Eshen, both of them, the din that Yecheved and Kalev are going to be chayiv skila, are going to be chayiv strefa, only applies if Miriam is still alive. So, going back to our Gemara now, so what did we just say? We established then, on the basis of the wording of our Mishnah, that it seems that our Mishnah is talking about that case of Chamoyseh v'Ein Chamoyseh. We're talking about Yecheved and Yecheved's mother. The problem with that is, Hanicha l'Abaya, that works out according to Abaya, Dama Mashmoz Zorshin Ikebenayu, who says that there's no real machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that you only burn the one that's Osir, and Rabbi Akiva is saying the Pasuk's not talking where one is Osir, the Pasuk is talking about a scenario where both of them are Osir. Fine, so then the Mishnah can be talking about,
there is a difference,
but it's not a practical difference, it's just a difference, what does the Pasuk mean? Both dinim are true, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree on the actual dinim. But they argue which case is the Pasuk explicitly talking about, that we're going to learn all the other ones from Jerusha. Rabbi Shmuel says it's talking about the case of Miriam and Yecheved, your wife and your mother-in-law. And Rabbi Akiva says it's talking about the case of Yecheved and her mother, your mother-in-law and her mother. So then, in that case, then fine. Masnit in mani Rabbi Akiva. According to Abaye, then we can say, very simple, our Mishnah, which says that the one explicitly stated in the Torah is the case of the mother-in-law and her mother, Yecheved and her mother. Fine, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva's understanding of the Pasuk. According to Rava, who says, Rabbi Akiva agrees that the scenario is the same as the one that Rabbi Shmuel described, Miriam and Yecheved, just Miriam and Yecheved. However, you're only Osir if Miriam is still alive. Not you're only Osir, you're only Chayiv Misa if Miriam is still alive. If you're going to understand like that, it means the Pasuk is talking about the case of a mother and a mother-in-law, where only one of them is Osir. Then who would our Mishnah be like? According to him, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree that the case explicitly stated in the Pasuk is the case where you're Mizana with your mother-in-law only, and we're saying that only she is, we're saying that only she is Chayav Misa, but we're saying, according to Rava's explanation of Rabbi Akiva, we're saying only the mother-in-law is Chayav Misa, well, plus the boy, or plus the husband, but only if both the wife and the mother-in-law are alive. So what are we saying? What are we saying? That our Mishnah is implying the case stated in the Mishnah is a mother-in-law and her mother, according to Rava's understanding of Rabbi Akiva. That's not the case. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's certainly not the case. So who would our Mishnah be like? The answer is, Amalach Rava Tani, Habal Isha Shinasa Bita. You're right. You have to explain the Mishnah when it says Habal Isha Bita. It means, like we assumed originally, that it means that we rejected originally. We tried this and we said we thought it wouldn't work. We thought the Mishnah should have used the expression Abal Isha Shinasa Bita, that he had relations with a woman whose wife, whose daughter he had married, meaning Yecheved, who he had married, her daughter Miriam. Fine, you have to understand that is after all what the Mishnah means, and then it would be according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. That would be the explicit case stated in the Pasuk, and all the other eight cases we're going to learn from it by Jerusha. So then we said, Yesh b'chal isho vita, included in the case of isho vita is chamoitza, is his mother-in-law, the aim chamoitza, and his mother-in-law's mother, the aim chamiv, and his father, and his mother, and his father-in-law's, and his father-in-law's mother. So why do we have to mention, why are we mentioning both chamiv and chamoitza? Why are we mentioning both the mother of his mother-in-law and the mother of his father-in-law? Look at Abaya, so according to Abaya's understanding, of Rabbi Akiva, who said that Chamoisa is explicitly stated, that Chamoisa and Aim Chamoisa are explicitly stated in the Pasuk, that the Pasuk is explicitly referring to the case of Yecheved and her mother. So then I did a kavoy l'misne em chomim toni nami chamoytei. Since it had to mention the mother of his father-in-law, who is not explicitly stated in the passage, so by that it also mentions the mother of his mother-in-law, even though according to Abaye's understanding, that is already explicitly stated in the passage. The Mishnah is just repeating it, just because you're listing all the relatives to parallelism. The Rava, according to Rava, it's the other way around. I did a kavoy l'misne em chomim ve'em chamoytei toni nami chamoytei. According to Rava, that the one explicitly mentioned in the passage is the mother-in-law. The F-10 means the mother-in-law. So then he would say that the Mishnah had to mention his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother, and therefore, incidentally, along with them, it mentions Chamoyse, the actual mother-in-law. Even though, again, she's not learned from a Jerusha, she's learned from the actual father. Okay. So that's how we explain the Mishnah. Now we've got to get into how do we check and know all these dinim? How do we know that all these relatives are included in these dinim? To turn it up on, we learn it up like this. The Pasuk says, The here now we have to refer back to that same pasuk as before, pasuk Yudalid. Isha sheyikach has isha ves. By the way, on the side over here it says vayikra chav dalid, but that's wrong. It's really vayikra chav. It's supposed to be the printer's messed up. Okay, isha sheyikach has isha ves. It says if a man marries a woman and her mother, ein liyala isha ve'ima. So based on that pasuk, you only know it's a woman and her mother, Miriam and Yecheved. Or according to Abaye's explanation of Rabbi Akiva, it would mean Yecheved and Yecheved's mother. Bas Isha, how do we know the same thing applies to the woman's daughter, to, let's say, Miriam's daughter, or Bas Bita, or daughter's daughter, or Bas Bina, or her son's daughter, Minayin, how do we know the same dinim apply to them? It's like this. Nema kan zima v'nema lahalan zima. Here in this pasuk we have the word zima. We have it twice, actually. Zima hi, and then so not a hekesh, but a zeta shava. Here we have zima. In achremos, yudches pasuk yizayin, it says, erbat isha uvita loitigale, do not have relations with a woman and her daughter. And it continues, etbat b'na v'etbat vita loitigach legale tevata, her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter don't take them, nimgala erba, sharahena, their relative, zima hi, it is zima. So we have a zeta shava of the two words zima.
So
we applied here. Malahalan bito basuna. Just like over there, the pasuk explicitly says that it's not is that it's a woman and her daughter, or the woman and her granddaughter, either kind of granddaughter. So all of them are included. Afkan, the same thing over here. When it comes to the punishment, bito basuna. Then it includes bito and basbito basuna. So far we have a number of the relatives mentioned in the Mishnah.
Based on the word zeta shava of the word zeta.
Minayim lachas zchorim k'nekevus. Next, the Braita continues. How do we know that zchorim are the same as nekevus in this regard? Which later on, at the end of this Amud and the top of the next Amud, we're going to deal with what the Braita means by that phrase. But let's learn the Braita and then we'll get into it. How do we know that zchorim are like nekevus? Again, nema kan zima v'nema l'halam zima. Again, the same zera shava zima teaches us that same concept.
Over there, talk zima about
zechor. No, well, that's what we're going to see. We're going to have to figure out what we mean by zchorim k'nekevus. Malahalam zchorim k'nekevus, just like in the pasuk in Achrimos, zchorim are the same as nekevus, because that is bas b'na, that's bas b'ita, her son's daughter, or her daughter's daughter. Achkan zchorim k'nekevus, the same thing over here, zchorim are just like nekevus. So far, then, we know all the generations down from the wife, then, that are included. Minayim lachas l'mata kilamayla. How do we know that the ones below are the same as above? Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask. Okay, the ones below, meaning below the wife, descendant of hers, we know from these sukkim that we just doubt. We need to know the ones above. We need to know how we know to include her mother and her grandmother, etc. So the Gemara will deal with that point later.
So here we get the reverse order.
Now, on the face of it, the Braita seems to be backwards. We'll get back to that. But minayim lachas l'mata kilamayla. How do we know that below is the same as above? Again, nema kan zima v'nema l'halam zima. Again, it says here zima and it says over there zima. You have to say, again, this is zeta shava zima. We're learning all of these concepts from. Ma l'halam l'mata k'lamayla. Just like over there when it comes to the warning in Parshas Achrimos, l'mata k'lamayla, the below is the same as above. What does the pasuk say over there? Elvas Isha Ovita Loitigale, the Pasuk said. Now we're in the one in Akram. So what do we get from it? In other words, the same thing applies whether you married the woman and after the same thing applies, whether first you had relations with the woman and then afterwards with her daughter. or whether first you have relations with the daughter, who now is your wife, and then with the mother, who is now your mother-in-law. Erva isha uvita lo tegale. Do not uncover the erva of mother and daughter. Es bas b'nava es bas b'icha. Her granddaughter of either kind, her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. Lo tegale galut evav. So what would it mean? In other words, obviously it would be the same thing.
Three
potential generations. But the point is, in other words, the same rule would apply regardless whether you started with the isha and later on went to bas b'na. Or obviously the same thing would apply if you did bas b'na and later on you did her. It's the same thing.
Why the pasuk is citing this in this order?
Because that's how the pasuk is citing. But the point is, in other words, obviously that pasuk itself automatically includes that you're talking whichever direction it was done in, whether you did first the isha and then the bas b'na, or whether you did first bas b'na and then isha. Either way, you have isha and you have bas b'na. So therefore, it doesn't matter which order it was done in. Therefore, when it comes to the punishment also, when the prophet says, Zimahi and therefore Ba'eshi Sufori Tabat, then it also has to be the same thing. It doesn't matter which one came first.
You're saying that on the basis that it's repeated twice?
Not on the basis of repeated twice. On the basis that when the prophet says, Ervas Isha Uvita Lai Tegale, obviously it doesn't matter whether you did first the Isha Uvita or whether you did first Bita or Isha. Either way, you've had relations with Isha and you've had relations with her daughter. So it doesn't matter. In other words, whether is it that you first married your chevet and then you had relations with Miriam, who is your wife's daughter, or whether you married Miriam and then had relations with her mother. Yeah, because it has to, obviously, because then you have Isha or Vita, one way or the other. You've had relations with Isha and you've had relations with Vita.
But that's what it is. But could be saying also first you
doesn't know, because then it would have to say the order, then it would say Eretz Isha, Ba'achalkach Bita, or whatever.
Something
to the effect to tell us that the order is significant. The fact that it doesn't mean is as long as it was done in some order, the same warning applies. So then in that case, it doesn't matter, in other words, whether the first one is your wife and the second one is your wife's daughter.
So why don't you say Shtehem then?
Shtehem, because that's what it means. Why should it say Shtehem?
Because then you could say both ways.
No, you don't need to. You don't need to. By saying Eretz Isha Uvita itself automatically includes both.
Okay.
So in the warning in Achron Mos, it makes the Maka to the Maila, above, the generations above and the generations below are the same thing. Afkan Lamata Kilamaila, the same way over here. The ones below are like the ones above. Umakan Lamaila Kilamata, Aflahalan Lamaila Kilamata. So it's the same thing, generations above and generations below are the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay. All right. So now that we had the Braisa, now let's start analyzing it. Omar, minayin lachos kodem kinakates. We said in the Braisa, how do we know that we make the males the same as the females? So what does that mean? My kodem kinakates. What do you mean the males are the same as females? Ilema bas benach bas bita. Do you mean how do we know that the same rule applies to the woman and her son's daughter as it applies to the woman and her daughter's daughter? You don't need a limit. Bahabi Hadassikas. The Pasuk explicitly says that's Bas Bina, that's Bas Bita. The Pasuk spells them both out. You don't need any kind of limit for that. Ella, Eim Chomiv Ke'em Chamoise. So you're going to say that maybe what the Braisa means is, how do we know that you're Chayev for Znud with your Chomiv is your father-in-law, Chamoise is your mother-in-law? How do we know that you're Chayev for your father-in-law's mother just as much as you would for your mother-in-law? Maybe that's what it means. Kodem kinakates, that your wife's father's mother is just as also to you, and there's the same chiyuv sreifa as your wife's mother's mother. Maybe that's what the braisa means. Problem with that is hashta aim chamoisa lekamalon. We haven't even established at this point in the braisa that your wife's mother is also to you, or that your wife's mother's mother is also to you. We only learned that later on in the braisa from the Gzeirah Shavah of Zima. We didn't get to that point in the braisa. That was before we talked about Lamata Kilamaila, that we go downward just as we go upward. So we haven't even reached that point yet. How can the Braisa be asking us how we know the father-in-law's mother if they haven't even established yet that the mother-in-law's mother is even up there? Abaya says, okay, what the Braisa means as follows. The Skorim and the Nekevis means himself and his wife. How do we know the same rules apply to his children as they do to her children? In other words, how do we know that, for example, just like a man is not allowed to have relations with his wife's daughter or granddaughter, as it says in the pasuk, how do we know he's also not allowed to have relations with his own daughter or his own granddaughter? And, by the way, Rashi points out, hold on, Yes, Zohar and Kedesh. The point is, Rashi says, let's say, for example, they were born from an Amnusa. Let's say the mother was never married to him. He raped a woman. She later had a daughter. So that daughter was not his wife's daughter. She was never married to him. How do we know? He's not allowed to have relations with her or her daughters. That, Minayin Lachos, Chodom Kedekevis, is because that's what it means. Minayin Lachos, Shared Abomi Menu. How do we know that relatives from him, that come from him, Kesher Abomi Menu, are in the same status as relatives that come from her? That is Nemekan Zima Venem Lahal Zima Vachola. We have that Zeta Shava of Zima Zima teaches us that.
But from Zima Zima, you would say married or unmarried.
So that's the point. Whether the original woman who we had relations with was married to him or not, if she's married to him, then the daughter is also Masad, she's his wife's daughter. If they were never married, she's also Masad, she's his daughter. Right. Okay. The problem with that is, the psukim that talk about the psukim that talk about his own daughters, or his own, actually a daughter is not explicitly said in the puzzle. We're going to deal with tomorrow where tackle we know that a man is not allowed to have relations with his daughter, and how we know that's Chayav Sreifa, which our Mishnah mentioned. We'll get to that.
We learned it
briefly before. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it in more detail later. But anyway, as far as granddaughters, here we have another pasuk. The pasuk says again in Achrimos, pasuk Yud, Ervas bat bincha evas bitchalo segale evas and ki evas chayena. He was talking about a man's own granddaughter.
Yeah, but that says chayena. He says
etan. One second. Hold on. So the question is like this. You're telling me that the man's own daughter or granddaughter is included, how do we know this? Chodom Kenekevis, because we have Xeder Shava Zima. But wait a minute, Zima is talking about you have a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. You have one place where it says Zima by the warning, another one by the punishment in Kedoshim. It doesn't say the word Zima by his own descendants, his own granddaughters. So what kind of Zeta Shava? Amar Rava, so Rava says, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avidimi, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avidimi told me we're using a double Zeta Shava here. Afya Hena Hena, Afya Zima Zima. Namely, we start by making Zeta Shava. No. Shailas Kocham Patsi Chuvah, but then you got to wait for the other half of the Chuvah, right? So, okay. In the Pasuk Yud, refer to Pasuk Yud in Perek Yud Ches of Achimos. Turn to Achimos. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud. Ervas bat din cha oivas bitcha, loy segala evason, ki evascha heina. So there, by your own granddaughters, it says the word heina.
Right.
A few psukim later, by Isha Uvita, Ervas Isha Uvita Lotidale, Shara Hena. So that Hena teaches us that whatever applies to your wife's granddaughter, yes, that's one Zeta Shava. It teaches us that what applies to your wife's daughter or granddaughter also applies to your own granddaughter, to your own daughter's granddaughter. So that's where we get and. Then we use the Zeta Shava Zima Zima to teach us that when it comes to the punishment, the same thing applies. The punishment, Srefa, that it says in Parshas Kedoshim, applies to both cases. That's how we know. So in order to learn that it applies to the Schorim Kenekevis, we need two Zeta Shavas. We need Hena Hena and we need Zima Zima.
That's
how Schorim and the Kevis, right. How do we know that they're the same as far as the warning? Because we have the Zeta Shava Hena. That's the same thing that applies to your wife, that her grandchildren are also to you. The same thing applies to you, that your own grandchildren are on the same level, or that they're both also, it says in the Pasuk. We use the Xeder Shava Hena to say that now we will take the Xeder Shava Zima, which is only mentioned, which one half of it is only in Pasuk Yud Zayin, and we will also apply it to Pasuk Yud. That's the point. The Xeder Shava Hena teaches us to consider these two as one unit, and then use the Xeder Shava Zima to say that the punishment applies equally to both of them. That's the point.
If you were learning Kachin, you couldn't do that.
In Lomid, Min Alamed, yeah, okay, fine. Okay. It's Kadesha, maybe, but not Kachin. Okay. We need both of them. If we didn't have Zima Zima, we wouldn't know the punishment applies to Bas Vita. We wouldn't know that it applies two generations down or two generations up. Hena teaches us the same, horizontally, the same thing applies to his descendants as to her descendants. Fine. Then we continue in the Bible. How do we know that below is just like above? Below, Lachora, means the generations after his wife. below his wife, his daughter or granddaughter, how do we know that they're the same as the ones above? What do you mean the ones below are like the ones above? Do you mean that the two generations down from her grandchildren should be the same as her daughter? Again, and again, the Pasuk says them all together. All three of them are mentioned in the Pasuk. By your wife's daughter or granddaughter. So you can't say that you can't. The Braisa says, how do we know that the Mata is Kilamaila? Does that mean, how do we know that the grandchildren are just as also and just as punishable as the children? All three of them are listed in the pasuk. You don't need to learn one more than the other. No, so it can't mean
Bito
that.
And Basita.
Yeah, exactly. Ela, eim chamer ve'eim chamoite kachamoite. So fine, you're going to say, how do we know, Taka, that your father-in-law's wife and your mother-in-law's wife are just as also as your mother-in-law herself? The problem with that is, in that case, then it's like it. You know already the lower generation. You're trying to learn out the higher generation, two generations back from your wife. So then the Braisa should have said, how do we know that Lamaila, that's a higher generation, two generations back from your wife, is the same as the lower generation, one generation back? The answer is Tony, Lamaila Kilamata. Fine, you can change the wording of the Braisa, that what it means is, how do we know that the higher generations are the same as the lower? How do we know that? How do we know from the lower one, which is mentioned in the Pasuk, because Erbeth Isher Ovita means your wife's mother, how do we know to the higher one, how do we know that the same thing applies to your wife's grandmother?
Back to my question, that you could have it in both ways.
That's what we're saying. Okay. The problem is, that's the problem. In that case, what do you mean? It says here Zima and it says there Zima. If it doesn't even say anything, it doesn't even say anywhere in the Pasuk explicitly about your wife's grandmother. Zima ditu ksiba. What do you mean? Yes, it's a mother and a daughter. Where do you even get Zima ditu ksiba? Where does it even say any place in the Pasuk?
In this one,
but we don't have any. We don't have any heina for that. I'm going to buy a hockey comma. Abaya says, right. What it means is like this: Minayin lasses shloisha derus lamaila to shloisha derus lamasa. The question is, how do we know that you go three generations upward? In other words, you have the wife herself count as generation number one. You have her mother as generation number two, your mother-in-law, and her grandmother, either your father-in-law's mother or your mother-in-law's mother. That's the third generation. How do we know that that applies to Shloisha Derdus Lamasa? How do we know that that applies equally as three generations down, which is said in the Pasuk? So it says that you have a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. So how do we know the same?
How do we know that the applies to mother applies to mother?
Well, how do we know that if you have, how do we know that once we've said that we can flip around the Mila and Lamasa, then we're saying like this. Just like we know from the Pasuk, that it's three generations working downward. You have the mother, you have the wife, her daughter and her granddaughter are all also to you, and they're all high up. How do we know the same thing applies going upward? Your wife, her mother, and her grandmother. How do we know that? The answer is Nemalamasa Zima Nemalamaila Zima, because you have, in connection with the generations below, it says the word Zima, and Nemalamaila Zima, and it also says, you have the Pasuk Yikachas Ishavet Ima Zima Hi, where there it said you marry a woman and you have relations with a woman and her mother. So there it says the mother, and it says the word Zima. So how do we know that the same thing applies? It's not just the mother, it's also the grandmother. How do we know that it should go back one more generation? That is where we use the Gzeira Shava Zima. Ma Lamasa Shloisha Dodas, just like when it comes to going below, you have three generations that I mentioned in the Pasuk, Isha, Bita, and Bas Beno or Bas Bita, the granddaughter. The same way, Aflamaila Shloisha Dodas, the same way, when you're going upward, it's not just Isha Ve'ima, Isha Ve'ima, it's also Isha Ve'ima, Ve'ima, or Ema Via, yeah, three generations, yeah. And umab onish also lamasa kilamayla. Just like when it comes to the punishment, it says the pasuk is saying that the same applies below as it does above, because it says that you got isha ve'etima. They were mentioned the mother of the woman that you married. Afaz horanami also lamayla kilamasa. The same thing. In the warning, it also in parshas Afrimos we should say that in the punishment of sreifas it means in both directions. The same way in Afrimos when it says eres isha uvita lesegale es basvita, it means in both directions. It means going downward and it means going upward. That's a biased explanation. Rav Ashi Yomer. Rav Ashi says you don't need to change the wording of the Braita. So La'olam Kitzkatani. The Braita did mean that we know Lamata, and how do we know that we know Lamaila, and how do we know Lamata? But the La'olam Umayla Mata Lamata Beisur. What do we mean by Lamata in the Braita? We don't mean like we understood it up until now. Lamata means going downward in the generation. We mean going downward as far as the severity of the Isur, in the sense that Lamata means a lower Isur. In other words, that what you have is like this. The further away, the lesser the issue, in the sense that your wife's grandmother is also to you, but their parents, one generation further back, are not. On the other hand, Chamoisai is a strong, your mother-in-law is a stronger issue. Not only she's also, but both of her, but her mother is as well. So that's the point, in other words. How do we know that that's true? How do we know that the Lamata, how do we know that the grandparents of your wife, who themselves, their own mothers are not author, how do we know they themselves are author? Is from the limud that we said, from Zima. Okay, the question.
Zima, you could say.
You can learn all of it. Yeah.
The mother and the grandmother.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But not their.
But not your wife's great grandmothers would not be offered. At least not Madaraita. Madarabanan maybe.
Yeah.
The question is, in that case, why? Why? Say that just like your wife, her mother's mother is offered, maybe also to him, to the man himself. His mother's mother should be offered Daraita. We said Kodim Kinakavis. So why should your wife's grandmother be offered and your own grandmother is mutter to you, Daraita. Rabbanan not, but Daraita, your grandmother is mutter to you. Now, it's interesting, actually, they ask the question, Taka, why should it be like that? So the Me'iri says an interesting idea. The Torah is answering the arayas that a person is more likely to have an attraction to. His own mother, fine. When a boy is little, he often sleeps with his mother in her bed. They have skin-to-skin contact, whatever. Therefore, when he grows up, he may have that kind of attraction to her, an Oedipal complex, as they call it in psychology. Mashenkin, his own grandmother, is going to be so much older than him, it wouldn't be normal for a person to have an attraction to her, and therefore the Torah has no reason to ask her. On the other hand, when it comes to his wife's grandparents, the view that Advaz comes in with an interesting thing. We know it can happen. A man can marry a woman much younger than himself. So he gives an example. Imagine, for example, a 50-year-old man marries a 16-year-old girl, which has been known to happen, you know. And imagine, for example, not only her mother, but also her grandmother. He says, let's say each one of them was born when her mother was 16. So what's going to happen? The grandmother is only 48. She's 2 years younger than him. He could well have to have an attraction to her, and therefore the Takat has to say that that's also. Your own grandmother, by definition, is going to be two generations older than you. Mashenkin, your wife's grandmother, conceivably, could be about your age.
Possible.
Yes. Okay. But Taka, how do we know that? Given that we're doing these Lamudim, how do we Taka know that your wife's grandmother is also to you, but your own grandmother is not? Daraita. Darabanan, she is. She is. But Daraita, she is not. Because the Pasuk says you're not allowed to have relations with her mother, and the Pasuk continues, Imchahi, she is your mother, implying, Mishum Ima, Yafi Machaiva, you can only be Machaiva for having relations with his mother, it's a mir. The Yafi Machaiva, Mishum Ein Ima, you can't be Machaiva for his mother's mother. The word Imcha, he's allowed to, technically. Would it be a normal thing to do? No, but you should probably take him to a good shrink, but it's allowed. Rava says, you don't need any kind of special limit for this. I can prove to you logically that there's no way to find any kind of source in the Torah that your grandmother should be offered to you. Namely, a
Zionist.
Rava is saying, I will prove to you that there is no way to make your own grandmother offered to you. It's like this. Okay, so now we know we have the concept of Gzeira Shav. Pretty much all of the Yud Gimel Midas, Shatern and Dreshes Behem, have sub-rules. For example, as far as Kavah Chaimer, we have the sub-rule of Dayo, which we've talked about in the Gemara a number of times. The concept of Gzeira Shav has sub-rules as well. There's the concept of Mufner that we talk about. Here's another sub-rule that I don't think we've come across before. When you make a Gzeira Shav between two dinim, what do we say? Do we say that we're now going to apply all of the possible dinim from, so we learn from this din to this din. Are we now going to take all the possible dinim from this one and apply them to this one? Or are we going to say, we're going to take the one particular din that we're learning from here and apply it to here, but all the other dinim that would apply to this one remain as they are? Those two things, those, it's a machlokes in a few places. In Shas, notably, they're called Naramek, actually. It's called Dun Mina Umina. It's called learn from it and learn again from it. And we'll keep on applying things from here to here using the Xeter Shava, using like a pipeline to bring things across.
Nice.
Or is it Dun Mina Ba'uki Ba'asra? Or is it you're done from it on one particular detail, everything else remains as it was over here. You do one Xeter Shava and that's it, you close the pipeline. So what is it? So what's the machlokes in a couple of places in Shas? We actually have had it briefly in Yevamos and Bavos Kama, as on the side over here mentions it. One of the big places where it comes up in Shas is in the Sefer Shavuos, which we'll get to in a few months. What? No, we'll get to it before Shavuos. So Rava says like this. Regardless whether you follow the opinion that you keep open the pipeline and you keep on bringing as many things over as possible from one to the other. Or whether we go according to the opinion that says that you learn the main thing, you use the Xeter Shava to learn one thing, which explicitly says in the pasuk by one, and then you're deriving it to the other. But any other dinim, that's it. You close the pipeline, and you're not bringing in any more. So either way, Rava says, loy asya. You're not going to be able to work out. You're not going to be able to find any kind of limud based on this zera shava of zima zima. You're not going to be able to find any way of making it that should apply equally to your grandmother as it does the wife's grandmother.
Not reciprocal.
Never mind reciprocal. Zera shava. What we're saying over here, remember. The Xeter Shava can be reciprocal, but we're not talking about that. The basic idea, what are we doing with the Xeter Shava? We're taking, for example, here it says the word that's bas b'nav as bas b'ita by the warning in Parashat Achrimos, not to do it, and we're taking that and applying it via the Xeter Shava Zima to Parashat Kedoshim, where it says Asher Yikach Isha Ves Ima, that it also includes the woman and her grandchildren.
Okay.
But the question is, are we learning only that one thing, or are we, which explicitly says in the pasuk, or are we taking any other dinim that apply over here and applying it over there? So, if we go lamanda, I'm a dun mino mina. If you say that you only mean that you learn everything possible, then mahi aim ima astura. Then you would start by trying to learn a limud that you would argue just like her grandmother is also akunami aimi astura, the same way his grandmother was also. However. Umina, but the problem is, then you'd have to continue learning from it. You'd have to say, Mahi b'sreifa, akunami b'sreifa. The problem is, then you'd have to say, just like with your wife's grandmother, you're chayav b'sreifa for it. For your own grandmother, you don't have to be chayav b'sreifa for it. The problem with that is, Lamanda omet sreifa chamura, if you're going to say that sreifa is a more serious punishment than skila, for a mother, you're chayav skila, as we talked to Prakim ago, that's your shim. That's the shim. If you say that tzveifer is more chomer than tzvila, it's lemitra, then you'd be able to slog up this limud. Malahi shekain ima b'tzveifer. What are you talking about? By her, if you mezana with your wife's mother, you're chayiv tzveifer. Toma b'chu she'ima b'tzvila. On the other hand, if you mezana with your own mother, you're chayiv a lesser punishment than tzvila. So how can we upgrade you to tzveifer because of your grandmother? But not only that, ima b'tzvila ein ima b'tzveifer. Furthermore, what are you going to say? For your mother, you get the lesser punishment of tzvila. For your grandmother, you should get the harsher punishment of tzveifa. But oy, and not only that, you have to point out also, just like with your wife, there's no distinction as far as the punishment between her mother and her mother's mother. It's all tzveifa. That it should be the same for your mother and your grandmother. So you wouldn't be able to learn that she's chayav tzveifa. According to that opinion, the limud wouldn't work because you would have any of these three ways to slug it up. Olamanda omer skila chamura, and even according to the opinion of the chamim that skila is more serious, mehai kusha lo neduna. Saran, you can use that third point. You can say it's not going to work. So how can you say by your wife, mother, and grandmother the same punishment today for applies? How can you say that with your own mother versus grandmother, it's going to be different punishment? Fine, Srefer is less serious than Tfila. So the first two questions won't work. The third question is still a strong one. Why? What would be the logic that you should learn that your mother, you're Chayav Tfila, which we know, but your grandmother, you're only going to be Chayav Srefer, as opposed to your wife, who you're learning from, where they're both the same? So it doesn't work out. That's according to the Chacham. So far we've disposed of the possibility that if you say, Dun mi no mi no, that we're going to learn as much as possible from one to the other, according to that way of understanding, if there's no way to look. What about a Lamanda Omar Dun mi no ba Ufi ba Asra? What about according to the opinion that we're only going to learn one thing via the Gzeira Shava, and then that's it, we close the pipeline and nothing else is learned? Well, let's work it out. Mahi aim imasura. Fine. You'd start the limud would be as follows. You'd say just like her grandmother is also Ahunami aim imasura. You'd say his grandmother is also. The problem with that is uki ba'asra, but you would have to leave it in its place. Meaning hosum hudrasreva, you would say where you're learning from your wife's mother, the sreva. Where you're learning to your own mother, your own grandmother. Your wife's grandmother, you're saying a strafa. You're learning from there to your own mother, to your own grandmother, that she should be author, then there would be chiv misa. But fine, you'd say you'd give skila, just like the mother is skila, so the grandmother would be skila. Kid ashkuchan be'ima, according to the same way as we find with the mother. Again, the problem is lamanda, ba'ama strafa chamura, but according to the opinion that strafa is more serious, ikala mifrach, you can slug that up. What about, think of it, your wife's relatives, there's more reason to be machmir and go two generations back because they have tzreifa, which is the harsher punishment. How do you apply that to him where the punishment is skila for his mother, for his own mother, which is a lesser punishment? What's the logic to say that you should be machmir and go two generations back to say his grandmother should be alter?
What's the logic of
saying? If you're going to say that tzreifa is more serious than tzreifa, you can say, okay, with your wife, where her relatives will make you high tzreifa, then fine. The Torah wants to be machmir even one generation further back. Not only her mother, but also her grandmother. You're going to say the same thing with your own, where it's only skila, that you're going to extend it one generation back? What's the logic?
But the one who says
if you say that tzreifa is more important. And furthermore, we should have to assume that the same rules apply to him as apply to her. Just like by her, there's no distinction between her daughter and her grandmother. All of them are chayav sreifa. The same way, there shouldn't be a distinction between his daughter and his grandmother. His daughter is chayav skila. That was one of the... His daughter is chayav sreifa. That's one of the ones mentioned in our Mishnah. Your grandmother, we're assuming based on this limud, you would say is chayav skila. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It should have to be the same. Ulamanda ama skila chamura. And if we go according to the opinion that skila is more serious, mahay kushala inaduna. Again, that last question prevents us from doing it. Because again, you're going to have the difference that the daughter is srefa, your own daughter is srefa, your own grandmother, we're going to assume is skila. Still doesn't work. Okay. So that's that. The point is, Rava has come to the conclusion, therefore, that it's impossible, regardless whether how we work Zayin Shabbos, regardless whether we learn Dun Mi No or Mi No, or regardless whether we learn Dun Mi No or Ufi Ba'Asra, either way, there is no way to make it that your mother, that your grandmother should be also to you, the same, that should be also to you and be Chayav Misa. Because regardless of how you learn it, you're going to end up having some kind of distinction that shouldn't be there.
That's
the maskana. Therefore, Rava says, you Abaya had your pasuk imchahi to exclude that. I don't even need that pasuk. Without that pasuk itself, the mechanism of how Gzeira Shava works doesn't make it possible to after aim imo.
So if that's the case, what is he doing about the pasuk?
Imchahi, we learned, we used it earlier. We learned it earlier. We said that you learned from that about the Chlokas over there, whether your father's wife is also lacham is also chayv skila lacham misa after the father died, or we had the whole issue over there about panutat oviv. We had a couple of them. Mishum imi atam chayv, atam chayv mishum eshet av. We had Rabbi Yehuda learning over there that if she's both your mother and your father's wife, you're only chayv on one ground, not two grounds. So you have other limudim. Yeah, we had other limudim over there from imchari that we can use that for. So Rava doesn't need to use it over here. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. The Gemara is going to go through the same kind of logic. To ask the other way around. What about, we know that your own daughter-in-law is also to you, and it's Chayav Tefila. What about your wife's daughter-in-law should be also to you by the same logic? And again, we're going to go through the same kind of logic to prove that that's not the case. According to Abaya, we're going to have a specific mute in the pasuk. And according to Rava, again, the mechanism of Zeta Shava is not going to allow it to happen. So your stepson's wife would be mutter to you after the stepson dies. Because we're not going to be able to. Yes.
Yeah.
No.